A new report is calling on Australians to acknowledge the extent of Islamophobia in our country and for political leaders to directly call out religious vilification. The report was prepared by the Islamophobia Register and tracks incidents of hate speech and violence targeting Muslims. It finds the abuse is happening in public places and that in almost 50% of cases, onlookers are not offering help. Max Chalmers has more.
In 2016, father of four, Syed, took his family for a day out in Brisbane.
Well, we went on a train to the city. We took our children to the museum. And on the way back, a man got on the train. He looked at me and my wife as we were sitting just next to the door. And then the first thing he asked me, "Are you Muslim?" I said, "Yes."
Syed says the man started shouting abuse at his family. His children grew increasingly distressed.
I was so nervous, so upset. There were tears in my eyes. I was feeling helpless. My children were looking at me. They started crying. My wife was crying. And then I looked at my wife and then said, "Shall I respond to him?" And then she just shook her head and said, "No."
Syed says the man threatened to throw his children off the train.
He really meant that, because he went ahead to grab my children, to pick the four-year-old daughter. She was sitting in the corner. You know, the kids' excitement, they want to look out, sit next to the window and look outside. He actually wanted to grab, and then my wife stopped him.
Nobody else in the carriage intervened, and the man abusing Syed's family eventually tired himself out. According to the Islamophobia Register, Syed's experience is not unique. The organisation asks Muslims to report their experiences via an online portal. In 2016 and 17, it received 349 verified incidents of Islamophobic harassment or abuse. Dr. Deria Inner is a senior researcher at the Centre for Islamic Studies and Civilization at Charles Sturt University. In her office above a bustling shopping centre in Auburn, in Sydney's west, she edited the Register's latest report. It tracked both online and real-world experiences.
It can start with hate speech and continue and like disclose of one's personal details. When it comes to physical, it can be throwing a bottle, pulling someone's scarf. And when you look at all these and when you look at the online cases, we find 1/4 of the cases were in the level of wanting to kill Muslims.
Since the Register's last report, Dr. Deria Inner found a 30% increase in harassment in places guarded by security officers or surveillance.
Most of the incidents were happening in shopping centres. When they were happening, 49% of people were walking away. Obviously, safety comes first and we need to train people. Once one or two people start critiquing or stopping perpetrator or defending the victim, we found others are also joining in as well.
Dr. Deria Inner hopes the report will spur people to help Muslims they see being hassled in public. She also hopes politicians will acknowledge the extent of the problem.
We need to also develop a counter-narrative by the politicians as well. And that is a good occasion now to see who will say what.
In a statement to RN Breakfast, the Minister for Multicultural Affairs, David Coleman, said,
"We are a country of many faiths, and this is part of what makes us such a successful multicultural society. The Morrison government has no tolerance for racial or cultural prejudice, and we welcome all migrants who commit to Australia and its values."
In the meantime, Muslim organisations in Australia are working to bridge the gap between their communities and the broader public. Sara Sabah is the founder and chair of Benevolence Australia. It sends facilitators to speak to school children, government departments, and police in Victoria. They ask participants to list stereotypes about Muslims.
what we see is the usual, you're terrorist, backward, uneducated. These are the often stereotypes. When we see people laughing about it, especially young children laughing about it, I have to admit, for the facilitator, who's usually a young Muslim themselves, trained in this area, it is quite difficult work because they're actually saying, this is what I think of you.
So why is it a useful thing to do then? Why is it useful for a facilitator to actually encourage people to voice up their prejudices in this case and to draw them out?
From our experience after running this program for over 10 years, we realized that when we send a facilitator out, we can't get past the misconceptions unless we start talking about them.
How do you know when you've gotten through to someone and they've had a turnaround? Can you see it?
I can see it on their face, absolutely. I can see it in the way they're sitting. I can see a shift immediately taking place. They become more open. They're more receptive. They're smiling. They're engaging. Almost always, those same people that I identified at the beginning of a session that what might be difficult will come up to me at the end and say to me, this has really changed me. Thank you for sharing yourself and thank you for being vulnerable.
Sara Sabah is optimistic about the future. That said, she doesn't think education programs alone are enough. For Syed and his family, the incident on the train has had a long-lasting impact. He's kept his ticket from the journey that day, and his family still avoids public transport. He's since tried to reassure his children about life in Australia.
It is a beautiful country, and it's one of the most peaceful countries in the world. So I show them, I Google that, and I bring the articles, and then I show to my children, and I read in front of them, and say that, look, Australia is one of the most beautiful country in the world, the most peaceful people in the world. So, yeah, I do talk very positively.
That's Syed there, who only wanted to give his first name, ending that report by Max Chalmers.